Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
We've got good news. The world is open again, and people like you, people of faith, are traveling to Catholic sites around the world. Want to travel with exceptional Catholic leaders this fall, next year, or in the future? Are you looking to see specific sites, celebrate traditional Latin Mass, or travel to destinations without vaccine requirements? We are here to help you deepen your faith on pilgrimage. Give us a call at 1-800-842-4842 or visit us online at selectinternationaltours.com. Select International Tours is your pilgrimage company, and we have the perfect Catholic trip for you.
Are you looking to serve God and society? Consider putting your gifts to work as a lawyer. Ave Maria School of Law has been educating faith-filled lawyers for over 20 years. Ave Maria School of Law is committed to training lawyers to use law appropriately around the moral issues of our time. Visit avemarialaw.edu to learn more about integrating your faith with a law degree.
Peace be with you. This is Catholic Sports Radio, located at the intersection of your faith life and sports life, and on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, and lots of other platforms. I am Bruce Wozniak, talking with Catholic guests who are current or former athletes, coaches, referees, umpires, clergy, administrators, and more from the pro, amateur, and scholastic ranks about the intersection of their faith life and their sports life. The show website is catholicsportsradio.net. There are links there not only to four social media platforms, but the Facebook group as well, where you can interact with not only other listeners, but even some past guests from this show. By the way, I post a lot of pictures in that group that do not get shared anywhere else. Always feel free to get in touch with me personally. You can email me via bruce@catholicsportsradio.net. or even private message me through the Facebook page or the Instagram account. I mean it when I say that I really, really love hearing from listeners of this show, so by all means, do please feel welcome to use any of those methods to reach me. Now on to my ministry moment for this episode. I have started to notice some TV commercials for the USFL and the start of their season coming in April. Since there's also a lot of talk about the XFL these days, well, with Dwayne The Rock Johnson being one of the owners and their kickoff next month, it starts to get a little confusing as to which league is new, or if it's just new ownership, or if there are new teams, or if it's, well, the league itself isn't new, it's the same name as before, but now it's coming back, so it's the old league, but in a new way. See what I mean? It's still hard to understand and not try to refer back to the old version we might have known. We are blessed to have clarity about where things stand for us as Catholic Christians, though. In the New Testament, Revelation chapter 21 makes it clear for us in verses 4 and 5, when it says, quote, "He will wipe every tear from their eyes, and there shall be no more death or mourning, wailing or pain, for the old order has passed away. The one who sat on the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. Then he said, Write these words down, for they are trustworthy and true." Moving on now with this week's episode, my guest was selected in the fifth round of the National Football League draft in 2010 and went on to a pro career with the New England Patriots, Pittsburgh Steelers, and Cincinnati Bengals, including playing in a Super Bowl. He had played his college football at the University of Michigan after having become one of the best high school football kickers in the nation, excelling both as a punter and place kicker. For his first season in the NFL, he set a rookie record for net punting yard average. Off the field, he started a foundation, which we will hear more about today. Welcome to Catholic Sports Radio, Zoltan Mesko.
Hey, Bruce. Pleasure to be on this. I'm a big fan of the podcast as of 72 hours ago, since I started listening very, very vigorously.
Thank you. I appreciate that, and I appreciate you making time to be on today. And Folks, if you've been listening to the show for a while, thank you for that, of course. And wow, if you thought last week was something with Casey Martin starting the conversation off by talking about being one of nine kids in his family, Zoltan is here to hit you with a childhood story that involves some very, very challenging circumstances from having been born in another country. Zoltan, fill the audience in on what I'm referring to.
Yeah, so my story starts on the Eastern Bloc behind the Iron Curtain. So I was born in 1986 before communism was overthrown in Romania. So we had a dictator. So prior to our revolution, life was very hard. Just a couple data points to mention was that we didn't have heating until after our kind of the American Thanksgiving time. So we didn't get our heating turned on until December. Every night we had a blackout to save resources from an electrical grid standpoint.
Wow.
So we were wearing three sweaters up until December when the heating got turned on. So really, you know, if anyone wants to ever discuss the beautiful and not so beautiful things of communism, I say that beautiful tongue in cheek. It's a very tough life, and because not everyone can have everything in an equal way. And, you know, as people started getting tired of this lifestyle, there was an overthrow of the government. Of course, we got a little brave as a culture and society because of the fall of the Berlin Wall. So on December 1st, 1989, the people rose up, right? They congregated in my hometown of 400,000 people at that time, called Timișoara, and they, you know, at first the soldiers, the army, they were against them, but then they started having, I don't know how they had these discussions, but it started turning, and the soldiers were like, "Wow, this is our actual chance to overthrow this tyrannic dictator," and you know, there was still fighting happening. There was bullets literally flying through our apartment building. We're on the third floor on Christmas Eve. And then both sides were like, "All right, we're going to pause firing for Christmas Day." And I still remember my grandparents delivering our Christmas presents. I think they walked like 6 or 7 kilometers to our apartment building when they ceased fire for one day. And then shortly afterwards, everyone did turn on the dictator, and the rest is history, so to speak. But that's kind of my upbringing during communism, and then post-communism. Life wasn't much better, but of course the violence went away. What really set in was hyperinflation. So, you know, a loaf of bread, you know, you could have money changing value by a half, or you know, going into a third of its value over from morning until afternoon. So really, really hard.
I know that everyone is going to be wondering when and how your family got out of Romania and came to the U.S., which, folks, if you don't think that the Lord sparing lives in the gunfire that they survived wasn't a blessing, how about these odds? Zoltan, go ahead and fill us in on the story of being able to leave your homeland to come to the U.S.
Yeah, so my family always tried to go to a better place, right? And many did, and many actually tried to cross the border and were shot during the communism era.
Wow.
And of course, they were still hard to get out. So I think in 1992, we actually tried to emigrate to Germany because we had some German roots, but that was denied. And what really came to fruition was that my dad like to play the monetary lottery. And he's like, "You know what? What is this thing going on with the U.S. government? They're willing to give green cards to these individuals." It was really a brain drain program from other countries to get educated people into the U.S., register them as taxpayers, and that's the right way to do it. And he's like, "Fine, let's go, let's apply." And out of 20 million applicants across the whole world, there was 50,000 or 55,000 chosen that year in 1996. funny enough, I still remember the percentage. I think it's 0.0275% that the likelihood of us being chosen. And talk about percentages. I think I've made a whole chart of my life and how it's turned out to be from these percentages.
Wow.
But I feel very, very fortunate and blessed to have my dad just on a whim, having applied for that green card lottery. And I still remember the day when he brought this manila 8.5 by 11 envelope into our living room. And he's like, "Hey, I got to talk to you guys. We got some type of letter from the U.S. government." But he didn't say what I got. My mom automatically thought there was another cockroach or a mouse running through the kitchen. And she's like, "Don't show me anything." Like, and of course he's like, no, I'm not kidding. Again, I'm going to use the phrase, the rest is history.
Yeah. So you had made your first communion in Romania and then made your confirmation after your family had settled in the States. But I think you're going to tell us that faith wasn't necessarily your number one priority. Talk about that as well as what happened in school that led you to football.
Yeah, faith wasn't the number one priority. And I guess Catholicism in Romania is about 10% of the population. But there was always some prayer involved. I think my mom and my grandmother on my mom's side definitely pushed it or partook more in the masses and dragged me along whenever possible. But from the standpoint of how I discovered football is another by chance, right place, right time. We were playing a game of kickball in the U.S. I guess I was already here. I came here when I was in fourth grade. But in the eighth grade, we were playing kickball, and I happened to, I was going for a home run, knock it over the bleachers because I knew I had the leg strength. That's all I played every day, any day in Romania. That was like our religion, no pun intended. And I knocked out one of the gym lights, and almost like in slow motion, like in a movie, this thing exploded and sparks flew everywhere. And the gym teacher walked up to me and he's like, "Listen, first and foremost, I can't believe you did that. Secondarily, we're losing our kicker on the varsity football team next year. So you can either pay for that light or you can kick for the varsity team." And the choice was easy. I was like, "I'm not paying for this. It would take me months of, installments or, money received from my parents as pocket money."
I'm laughing because there's an obvious joke there, which is the book on this kid is, "Boy, he can kick the lights out." No, he actually can kick the lights out.
That's a good one.
So to fast forward a bit, I mentioned in the intro that in high school, you had become one of the best high school football kickers in the U.S. Yet, when you finally made your decision and went to the University of Michigan, there was a bit of a rude awakening. Talk about not only what happened that first season, but again, since this is Catholic sports radio, whether you were turning to God during that challenging time or not.
Yeah, so at the University of Michigan, because I was the number one recruit by Rivals.com and whatnot in the place kicking and punting realm, it was mostly for punting, but that's why I attended the University of Michigan. I guess that's why they offered me, but I ended up not starting. So I think there was a walk-on good enough to have beaten me out. And by the way, awesome individual. I actually roomed with him in the summer. Just a great leader, really good, mentally tough individual who beat me out. And he should have, because the numbers spoke for themselves. But I went into a fairly dark place because I had never truly seen failure in my life before. Then everything was on the rise and there was no hiccups. But I did find a an organization on campus called Athletes in Action that somehow helped me set an anchor to what really started to matter. And I think that was sort of a catalyst of a transformation there.
But folks, I think we're hearing already, you can see that the Lord's hand was in so much of this. It wasn't by chance, it wasn't by luck that the Mesko family, quote unquote, won the lottery and was able to come to the U.S. And these things that happened, as Zoltan kind of implied, he ended up gee, what an easy choice this is. I'm not going to pay to fix the light. I'm going to go play on the football team. And so now he's on campus at University of Michigan and seeing a little adversity, as you said, for the first time. And lo and behold, there ends up being a resource there for him. So, Zoltan, let's jump ahead again. And now it's the 2010 NFL draft and you get selected by the Patriots. Where was your faith then? Had you been praying meaningfully for that? Were you, for all intents and purposes, down on your knees thanking God and recognizing it as a blessing from him when New England called you, or not necessarily?
Yeah, so I definitely saw it as a culmination of sorts. But once the opportunity presented itself and the dopamine rush wore off, a bit of a curveball here, but didn't turn out to be, you know, really all that I had pumped it up for.
Mm.
And you know, to go full circle here, even in my freshman year, and by the way, in high school, I really developed physically. So I was, think of this, I was a beanpole. I was 6'3", 155 pounds my freshman year in high school. So my football pants were falling off. I had to pull them up every 10 yards. And I really started to apply myself in the weight room. And I used prayer and God as a rabbit's foot to the means to an end of football, which I thought football was the end. And then it became a means to an end. But then I really didn't know what the end was. So I'm kind of like transgressing time periods here. But I still remember being at St. Elizabeth's Church on Buckeye and 55th here in Cleveland, praying that my weight would go up. I would say, God, please get me to 170 pounds. And once I got to 170, I would, please get me to 185. And, you know, I was doing all that I could. And it was almost like it was so sad. And even into my first, second, third year with the Patriots, lo and behold, I was praying for a good average or a good performance. And then I was like, it didn't feel natural to me. I was like, I just felt completely out of love with it as far as the sport of football and even, you know, how it was treated or how this, you know, how it can become a profession, right? Mm. How sort of a hobby, when you turn it into a profession, can become really, I don't know, sour taste in your mouth. But I didn't like the fact that I was using my face as a rabbit's foot.
Yeah.
And I felt a little helpless. Let's just put it in that way.
Well, and folks, I know I have a tendency at times to have a guest on of Zoltan's stature and not spend enough time on what you probably wish I would, which in this case would be his time in the NFL. And that will not be the case on this episode because I do have some questions for him about his years in pro football. But I do want to extend my gratitude to all of you who listen. I can't say enough how much it motivates me and keeps me going when I hear from listeners or see that the show is getting more listeners. So please know how much all that means to me. When you're a one-person operation doing something as a ministry and when you don't get any income from doing it, there can be some real challenging times mentally, unfortunately. But I know that the Lord called me to this ministry, so I continue to work to serve him and all of you, hoping to bring more and more brothers and sisters in Christ further along in their faith walk. It does also come with its financial challenges too, unfortunately, since I also don't have any sponsors. So I'm faced with somehow trying to find a way out of my own pocket to try to cover the various expenses related to operating all things Catholic Sports Radio, both on and off the air. At the end of this month, I will drive over to Orlando for several days of some really good education, really good networking that I know will benefit this show and help me with what I do through this ministry. PodFest Multimedia Expo is the event that I'll be attending and doing lots of learning at, but it does come with a cost. Even though I can drive there, there's still the hotel cost. The host hotel is just too expensive, so I'm staying off-site to try to save money, although the bill for that still is going to come in at $579 plus tax for my total stay. That's just the latest example of one of the expenses that I have and why I ask you to prayerfully consider this ministry as part of your tithing. As you can appreciate, it's a great, great help to me when someone does make a gift to my ministry, which you've heard me say in the past that both guests and listeners alike have done. largely by using the blue Donate to CSR button on CatholicSportsRadio.net. That is quite easy and fast to do. You don't even have to spend time evaluating different amounts because there is nothing giving you suggested amounts, quote unquote. You put in whatever you're comfortable giving, and that helps me with the costs that I've given other examples of over a number of past episodes of this show. Alternatively, if you'd rather not put credit card information onto the internet, you can write to me via bruce@catholicsportsradio.net, and I will email you back with instructions for sending me a check through the mail. Regardless of whether you use the Donate to CSR button on the website or send me a check through the mail, as you've heard me do on past episodes, I will happily say the name of anyone who makes a gift to my ministry, or as some have asked instead, you can choose to remain anonymous. Either way, your gift really means a lot to me, so please know my sincere gratitude for listening to the show, for telling others about it, and for supporting the work that I do in my ongoing efforts to move more people closer to Christ through this ministry. Zoltan, I mentioned in the intro that you had set the NFL rookie record for net punting yard average, but off the field after your first season with the Patriots, that's not what you were focusing on. Share with us about your mindset at that point as it relates to your faith life.
I had a really tough time my rookie year, partially because it was such a long season, so mentally it was draining, but even the way the professional world had turned it into a job. So Trent Beatty was kind enough to share a book with me about Saint Ignatius of Loyola. And I read his book, and I was really surprised by what a kind of the definition of a saint was, and how Saint Ignatius's journey took him from, you know, getting his leg blown off by a cannonball, and him being fairly promiscuous and a womanizer, and then being, you know, because of the cannonball, being at bed rest, and he had to reconsider some things. So these saints that we talk about, you know, the journey is to technically go through hell and back. And then really that it's not to be perfect the whole time. And it gave me a lot of confidence as to, like, you know, what journey we can all go on. And it's okay to not be perfect and maybe be made perfect through prayer and God, you know, like the forgiveness of that. But that really resonated with me. And, but that was still in my rabbit foot days of football, of praying for a good outcome, which sometimes I think about, like, what does God care about a sport? And I know there's good things that come out of that, and it's United Nations and things of that nature. But it really got me to think, and if I may kind of teleport to 2016, when I was out of the NFL, I had to reinvent what my faith was defined as. Because I'm a son of two engineers, I have to know physics, and I love to believe in what's tangible there. Of course, faith is believing in something that you can't see. So I picked up a book by the recommendation of a friend who went to a Jesuit high school, and it's The Language of God, and it was written by the author, actually funded the public version of the decoding of the human genome, right? And there was a public and a private. And the guy who decoded that, he talks in scientific terms. He argues for the existence of God. And there was one chapter where I just, like, and funny enough, I was listening to it, so I kind of cheated. But I was mowing my lawn, and I had to pause. I had to turn off the engine because it was so profound.
Wow.
But there was one chapter with 15 different variables. And one of them was, how does Big Bang, right? If the energy of the Big Bang was too much, there would be too many gamma rays, too many X-rays, basically, to create life. It would eradicate and make everything sterile. If there was too little by a minutia, and he breaks it down into an actual probability, going full circle with probabilities and lotteries here, he's like, there's not enough radiation to combine elements. So someone had their hand in the pot, right? And this is one variable out of the 15 in this one chapter. that just like floored me. Mm. And I was like, all right, there is something here. And you gotta take just a step of faith. You don't have to leap into the abyss, but there's something here, and that's really what I've built upon.
And out of all that you just said, I want to circle back to when you were talking about your discovery of Saint Ignatius and through the book that you had been given.
Yeah.
Because you also talked about when you were at Michigan and all of a sudden were met with adversity for all intents and purposes for the first time, at least as it relates to sports. So how much did your Catholic faith play a role in helping you deal with adversity during your time in the NFL as the years went by? Because I'm thinking specifically of losing in the Super Bowl to the Giants, changing teams from New England to Pittsburgh, and then changing teams again from the Steelers to the Bengals. So had your faith life started to advance enough that maybe you were dealing a little bit differently with those different adversities, or was it still kind of the rabbit's foot phase?
Yeah. I will say, and I feel like I'm one of your worst faith-based guests, let's call it, because I don't know all the sayings, all the doctrines. I'm now actually reading the Bible for the first time in my life. I'm a third of the way through it.
Mm.
The Old Testament is a grind, but I'm doing it. But anyways, I wish I would have used that more as a help to me. And again, like the rabbit's foot methodology that I used did not work for all intents and purposes when it came to facing adversity, right? But now that I look back on this plan that I feel like God has for all of us and for myself, right, as I look back at the timeline, there is not a single piece that I would change about it. Mm. Just how my life has turned out with my children, with my profession now, with the influence that I have or can have on a one-on-one basis with people or even with a group, it is unbelievable. But I will 100% admit I did not have it together. And I'm not saying I have it together now. It's a journey, right? I don't think I'll ever have it together.
For all of
us. Or that any of us, yeah, have it together, absolutely. But back then, it didn't even occur to me. That's the sad part, that when I was, you know, cut from the Patriots or cut from the Steelers or dealing with not even getting picked up, I never turned to my faith.
Hmm.
So juvenile and so sad, but it was almost necessary. And I thank God for helping me realize that.
But audience, here's what I want you to pick up on. You know, as much as I have said before that, if unfortunately, and this sounds kind of like a shot against my own show, but if unfortunately it's somebody hearing the mix of faith and sports that makes them decide, okay, I guess I'll go back to church, or okay, I guess I'll start paying attention instead of just sitting in the pew at Mass and daydreaming, or okay, I'm going to get even more involved than I already am with church. If Catholic Sports Radio is what helps accomplish that, then praise God that there's been that breakthrough. And so the comparison I'm making here is the same. It's never too late for somebody to come to these realizations that Zoltan is pointing out. And so you can say that's unfortunate that he went through his whole NFL career and didn't have the Lord with him the way that he does now. Yes, it is. But it's also great testimony to the fact that there's no such thing as the right time, the perfect time of when somebody can rededicate themselves to the faith. And so you're hearing that he's embracing Catholic Sports Radio. He's obviously getting a lot deeper in his faith. He's reading the Bible. So there's no problem in the timeline, because as he just testified, he looks back on it all and says, I wouldn't change a thing. Although, Zoltan, I do want to ask a follow-up question. What about the guys around you? Was there such a thing as I'm going to just say the Patriots, because that's the team you were with the longest. Was there
Yes.
a team priest? Were there other Catholics? Were there other Christians? Were there or was it, you know what, Bruce, I wish there was more of it around the locker room, around the brotherhood of the teammates, that maybe it could have pulled me closer to my faith.
Yeah, there was always, so there was, I actually did the reading for our Mass on Saturday nights.
Oh.
So we had a priest come in, and then I also partook in the kind of non-denominational version of the Bible study led by teammates. Oh. And sometimes a chaplain as well. So I did partake, but to a certain degree, it went in one ear and out the other because it didn't feel natural.
I see.
Again, it's so long ago that I can't really point to the nuances of it, but nothing really, really stuck.
I see.
And I always prayed. I prayed at night, but I was never really aware enough to snap out of the routine. Like you talked about daydreaming in the pews, really asking and praying for others and asking for what really mattered. And really sometimes giving up control of like, I think this is what matters, but if you think something else is in the plans, then do that. Because I'll accept it with all my heart. And one more thing, right? Prayer is one thing, but doing or aligning that, I think prayer aligns our frequency of doing for what we ask for. We have to do. There's almost a joke in Romania, and this there's always this one character, almost like a Dilbert type of equivalent in Romania, and his name's Bula. And Bula would always pray that he won the lottery.
Hmm.
And he would go to church, and didn't happen for a year. He's like, God, please let me win the lottery already. And then it didn't happen. And 5 years go by, 10 years go by. He's like, God, why won't you answer me and let me win the lottery already? And God finally comes to him and answers him in the pews of the church. And he says, but Bula, are you going to buy a lottery ticket already? So he never, it's kind of the lesson is like, act upon what you wish for. So yeah. It's kind of, maybe if there's a message there is like, you know, the message for God, from God, I guess, is help me help you.
Yeah, because it's otherwise the very rabbit's foot approach that you've been describing, that you have to be active. And if you want to manifest this, it's not rub the lamp and hope that the genie comes out.
Absolutely. Couldn't agree more.
So we're in the home stretch, but I do want to give you an opportunity to talk about the Zoltan Mesko Foundation.
Yeah, so that was an episode in my playing days where it started all the way, the actual demand, I guess my soul's demand for it was that I needed to melt away my problems on the field, which were really not problems, and to go... And I was invited to meet children at bedside in the hospital, and I would go to the oncology department a lot. And these kids, I mean, 5-year-olds, 3-year-olds, 7-year-olds, hooked up to all these IVs and going through chemotherapy and just ridiculous amounts of radiation. And I would ask myself, like, how dare you even consider your problems your problems? And then I continued that on not only a visiting aspect. I would do it every Tuesday, which is our off day in the NFL. But I had a fundraiser, so that money had to go through a logical, practical channel, which was a 501c3, and I spun one up and I donated back to the children's hospitals. And you know, sometimes these you talk about, you know, not paying your own bills. I mean, sometimes these parents are at bedside for 2 months at a time. It's so sad. So, you know, we would host like a steak dinner in one of the conference rooms at the hospital for them and have it catered and everything, and donate school supplies and whatnot. But that was, you know, leveraging my teammates and getting people there. Our usual fundraiser was a karaoke event where you got to come up on stage with any of your superstars, Tom Brady, Rob Gronkowski, and sing with them.
That's awesome. That's awesome. It is, like you say, very, very challenging circumstances, to say the least. Yes, absolutely. Without a doubt, the child that's in the bed. But, you know, you're right. The parents who are there day in, day out, morning, noon, and night for, like you said, 2 months straight, it's as much of an opportunity for them to exhale, to, you know, add a little levity to one night for them, you know, over what is a very grueling time period for them. So it is wonderful, you know, that you and your teammates were able to provide this for them. And it sounds like it was something that became very personal to you.
Absolutely. And by the way, Bruce, I want to give you a lot of credit for You know, when you first contacted me, I listened to the podcast, and again, I had another stop my lawnmower moment. Of course, I wasn't mowing my lawn because it's January right now. But your podcast takes this truly beyond the game, and I can appreciate that. And I haven't memorized your sign off motto. It's, you know, it's not whether you win or lose. So you can sign off with that, but that really resonates with me.
Well, thank you.
Kudos to you.
Thank you. That means a lot. And I've admitted before that for someone that has to talk through the whole show, or at least whatever percentage I'm supposed to as the host, I get kind of tongue-tied and flustered when people say nice things like that. So it does mean a lot to me, even if I'm not the best thanker. But I want to close by having you share about your marriage, your children, the Catholic faith in your immediate family.
Yeah. So my wife went to Catholic school, and I never got the privilege to do so. And for some reason, she just comes off as a really, really wise old soul to me. And she always has an answer for most things because she has her algorithm set, so to speak, because I'm in the technology world now. But her code, right, it's always pointing back to lessons learned through the Bible, through school, and through her prayer. And I always come up with these studies. Did you know if you did this and that? Like, and then she summarizes it. Yeah, so you mean like this story in the Bible or whatever, like wisdom she carries with her?
Wow.
And I'm just like, oh, I guess you're right. And it's, you know, the Bible, just from a standpoint of surviving, right? A piece of paper that has survived a couple millennia. It's stronger, more survivable than any castle ever built, right? No castle ever stands. Millennia, it somehow people have upvoted this kind of like a Reddit post, you know, people upvote or retweet. Somehow it survived because there's such a good logic to how to live your life in
that's
it.
Right.
And that's why I want my kids to go to Catholic school, and my daughter's going to Catholic school now, and my son will be as well, because I just love the type of human you become. Again, all faith aside, but the faith, of course, is all of it. But it's just, you become such a better individual that, yeah, somehow it allows your anxiety to melt away if you hand things over.
Amen.
To a certain someone.
Amen.
That we know.
Your children's ages are?
So almost seven, so six and a half, let's say. My daughter's going to school, and then my son is three, and then we have another kid due in March.
Wow.
We'll be expanding.
Wow, wonderful. My eyebrows were raised really high as you started into that. I thought that's what you're going to say. And audience, this is 2 weeks in a row now, because we heard Casey Martin last week say that his wife is due in February with child number 10 in their family. And so let's be praying for the Mesko family as well, and child number three that will be here in March. Wow. Congratulations, Zoltan, and God bless you and your sweet family. Thank you so much for making time to be on Catholic Sports Radio. I really enjoyed it.
Thank you, Bruce. Really appreciate it.
Absolutely. Yeah, my pleasure. My pleasure. And folks, out of deference to the career that Zoltan has made as not only an NFL player, but you heard about his years in college, the success he had in high school, let's close this week's episode with an athlete's prayer and pray it together, of course, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I thank you, O God, for giving me a body which is fit and strong, and for making me able to use it well. In my training, help me never to shrink the discipline which I know that I need and that I ought to accept. In my leisure and in my pleasure, help me never to allow myself any indulgence which would make me less fit than I ought to be. When I compete with others, help me win or lose to play fair. When I win, keep me from boasting. When I lose, keep me from making excuses. Keep me from being conceited when I succeed and from being sulky when I fail. And help me always with goodwill congratulate a better man who beat me. Help me so to live that I will always have a healthy body and a healthy mind. This I ask for your love's sake. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thanks so much for listening. This is Catholic Sports Radio. Find more at catholicsportsradio.net, as well as on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. It is at Cath Sports Radio on all those, C-A-T-H, at Cath Sports Radio. I'm Bruce Wozniak, and remember, it's not whether you win or lose, it's that it's Jesus that you always choose.